This is NBC Nightly News, Friday, September 28th. Reported by John Chancellor.
Good evening. What amounted to open warfare broke out today between Vice President Agnew and the Justice Department. Agnew's lawyers moved in court in Baltimore to stop the presentation of evidence about Agnew to a grand jury. They said using the grand jury in this way is unconstitutional, and they added that the Justice Department is out to get Agnew by a deliberate campaign of leaks and publicity against him. The Justice Department responded, saying these deplorable allegations are patently ridiculous. Strong language about a vice president. Here is more on what Agnew and his lawyers did today.
The vice president, dressed casually in a sweater, left Washington for California to rest at Frank Sinatra's place and to make a speech tomorrow declaring he is innocent, he will fight to prove it, and he will not resign. At mid-afternoon, a young lawyer named Stan Martinson arrived at the Baltimore courthouse to take the long-expected next step in Mr. Agnew's legal fight. Martinson came to deliver a motion asking that the grand jury investigation of the vice president be stopped. First, the lawyer left copies of the motion at the office of U.S. Attorney George Beall, who started presenting evidence against the vice president to the grand jury yesterday. Then, Martinson went to the office of the clerk of the court for the formal filing procedure. It took about 10 minutes for the lawyer and the clerk to go through the documents and put their signatures in the required places. Finally, the lawyer dug in his pocket for $15, the standard fee for filing a legal motion. The motion asked the court to stop the grand jury from being given any more evidence which could lead to an indictment of Mr. Agnew, on grounds that the Constitution forbids that the vice president be indicted or tried in any criminal court. Mr. Agnew's lawyers also filed an affidavit saying that news leaks have convinced them that personnel of the Justice Department have engaged in a steady campaign designed to deprive the vice president of that basic right of a free man, the right to be judged fairly on the merits without prejudice. The Justice Department said later there is no basis for that charge. It said Justice Department employees have sworn under oath they were not the source of leaks. Shortly after the motion was filed in Baltimore, lawyers for Mr. Agnew and the Justice Department met with Federal Judge Walter Hoffman in Norfolk, Virginia. Hoffman has been assigned to handle the Agnew case because all the federal judges in Maryland disqualified themselves. The judge and the lawyers met to make arrangements for dealing with the vice president's request to stop the grand jury investigation. Ron Nesson, NBC News, Baltimore.
Here in Norfolk, the meeting with Judge Hoffman lasted for over an hour. The team of Justice Department lawyers was headed by Assistant Attorney General Henry Peterson. Vice President Agnew was represented by his three principal attorneys, Judah Best, Jay Topkis, and Martin London. Neither side had anything to say going in or coming out. After the meeting, Judge Hoffman issued a short statement saying that briefs will be filed by both sides over the next 2 weeks and an argument will be heard in Baltimore on October 12th. The key sentence in the statement was the last one. Judge Hoffman said the Baltimore grand jury may continue in session pending a final decision unless otherwise ordered by the court. This means the Justice Department can continue to present its evidence against the vice president and the grand jury may continue to operate. It also means the grand jury could even return an indictment against the vice president in the meantime, even before this legal issue is decided. Douglas Kiker, NBC News, Norfolk.
When the vice president comes to Palm Springs, he comes to get away. Now, maybe more than ever, he feels the need for that. So this time, as he came in, you couldn't even see him coming off the plane. Everyone was kept on the other side of the runway, that no one should get close and try to ask questions. The vice president has made clear he is not here to answer questions. He is here to stay a few days at the home of his friend, Frank Sinatra, maybe to play some golf, but aside from that, to be isolated. And the Sinatra compound, surrounded by its own security and the Secret Service, is a perfect place for isolation. One exception, tomorrow the vice president will leave here and hop up to Los Angeles to make a speech about his problems, a speech which his aides say will be a very tough speech. He will speak before a convention of Republican women. That convention has already started, Catherine Mackin reports.
There was considerable conversation in the hallways about Vice President Agnew's problems and about the problems of Republicans generally. But spirit seemed high enough, and an enthusiastic speech by the party's newest member, John Conley, was well received. Conley sharply criticized the way Vice President Agnew is being treated, and then he did something John Conley rarely does. He made a major blunder and said the day would come when the Vice President would be found guilty.
In the minds of a great many people, he's already been convicted of what they don't know, but largely because of transgressions of trust and transgressions of responsibility and duty, leaks out of the grand jury, out of the Justice Department, and other places in this government. He is indeed under attack in a manner unprecedented in the history of this country. And whatever the merits of the case, he is entitled to fair treatment under the judicial system of these United States. And I, like you, hope and pray that the facts are such that he's completely exonerated and that he is indeed found guilty, and all of us can admire the fighting spirit that he manifests at every turn.
At a press conference later, Conley apologized for the mistake he made in saying that the vice president would be exonerated and found guilty. Conley really was very generous in his defense of Agnew, but then he's in a position to be generous, because with every passing day, the chances look better that the Republican Party will turn to John Conley and ask him to help lead the party out of all the trouble it has had in the past year. Catherine Mackin, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Mr. Agnew speaks in California tomorrow. NBC News will cover it live on television. The coverage begins at 1:30 in the afternoon Eastern Time. James Reston of the New York Times reported today that Agnew believes it's all over for him as a possible presidential candidate, that he has been destroyed politically. Reston also says Agnew is determined not to resign, but to fight as hard as he can. Any other course, Agnew is reported to believe, would look like a confession of guilt, which he will never make. In other news tonight, we'll have a report on two Arabs who hijacked a train in Austria, took some Jewish hostages, and then bargained for an aircraft to get them to the Middle East. We'll see President Nixon and Soviet Foreign Minister Gromyko. Trade and Russian Jews are very much on the minds of both men. Farm prices are down, but consumers may not benefit from that very soon. And we'll report tonight on what happened to a lot of stockbrokers when the market went sour.
Now we need two more cars to take the kids to the zoo.
I'll drive. I have a new Cutlass.
Thank you. Now we need a second car.
I'll make two trips.
Drive happy. Drive happy. Cutlass can make you a little drive happy.
Step up to Cutlass Supreme, Oldsmobile's little limousine.
Drive happy. Drive happy.
At a price that's less than you might think. Trim, easy to handle, solid body by Fisher. Easy to park, too. All to help make you really drive happy.
Wow, two trips, Mary. I thought you hated to drive.
Not anymore. Besides, I like kids.
Drive happy. Step up to Cutlass. Drive happy.
Sue?
Sarah, I'm at the store and I'm confused. For the first time in years, I need a laxative. Sarah, there are dozens of them. Powdered laxatives, mineral oils, candy types. I'm confused.
Get the Philips, Sue.
Why Philips?
Philips Milk of Magnesia is thorough and gentle. And of all those laxatives, Milk of Magnesia is the kind doctors recommend most often.
Doctors do?
Sure do.
Read the label on any of these leading pain relievers advertised for temporary relief of minor arthritic pain. You'll find only bare-timed-release aspirin makes this promise. Two tablets, when needed to relieve minor arthritic pain at bedtime, work while you sleep to help you wake without morning stiffness. Bare-timed-release aspirin. You only take it once in 8 hours. It's made to work overtime to help you wake without morning stiffness.
Two heavily armed Arabs today seized the Moscow-Vienna express train near the border of Austria and Czechoslovakia. They took four hostages, three Jews on their way to Israel from the Soviet Union and an Austrian customs official. Then the Arabs commandeered a small bus and drove to the Vienna International Airport, 28 miles away. And there tonight, the Arabs are bargaining with the Austrian government for an airplane to carry them to an Arab country with their three Jewish hostages.
The drama began this morning when the train was commandeered as it crossed into Austria from Czechoslovakia. The train was taken over by two Palestinian terrorists, and the action was filmed by an amateur photographer. The terrorists handed out a note which identified themselves as Eagles of the Palestinian Revolution. Six hostages were pulled from the train, but in the shooting and confusion that followed, three of them escaped. An Austrian customs man was injured in the shooting. With the three hostages, the terrorists headed for the Vienna airport. The train, with the rest of the group of Jews aboard, headed for Vienna and the main railway station, which was under heavy guard because of the incident. The feeling is that the Palestinian terrorists were trying to strike a blow at the increasingly heavy traffic in Jews coming out of Russia and headed for a new life in Israel. The blow was timed to coincide with the Jewish New Year celebration. At the airport, negotiations have been going on all afternoon between the terrorists, who were sitting in a small truck parked on the airfield. The terrorists are holding hand grenades and threatening to detonate them if their demands are not met. They have been talking with airport officials and with the head of the Austrian State Police and a psychologist. The terrorists have given an ultimatum for midnight Austrian time. They say they must be given a plane with which to fly to a Middle Eastern state or else. What that or else is, no one knows. This is John Danley, NBC News in Vienna.
In Moscow today, police broke up a demonstration by 10 Jews outside the Soviet Interior Ministry. The Jews were protesting the government's refusal to give them exit visas. Police took their signs away and herded them into the ministry building. In Washington, many congressmen and senators have threatened to vote against the Soviet-American trade bill unless the Russians agree to let Jews and others leave the Soviet Union if they want to. The bill would give the Russians most favored nation treatment on tariffs. That means better treatment for Russian goods sold here, and the Russians badly want that. Today, President Nixon discussed the trade bill with Soviet Foreign Minister Andrei Gromyko. Tom Brokaw reports.
Soviet Foreign Minister Gromyko's annual visit to the White House comes at a time when President Nixon's struggle with Congress over his trade bill is getting into the decisive stages. The president feels very strongly that the Soviets should have most favored nation status without any conditions. Otherwise, he argues, the improved relations between the two countries could be hurt. The president and Secretary of State Kissinger let it be known this week that they believe that the Soviet Jewish problem can best be solved by so-called quiet diplomacy. As a result, it was not surprising when the president met with Gromyko and Soviet Ambassador Dobrynin today that the discussion centered on the trade bill. Gromyko received a briefing from the president on the administration's efforts and an assessment of congressional attitudes. No details of the conversation were released. It was confirmed only that the Jewish question was discussed. The White House would not say whether Gromyko repeated his earlier warning against meddling in the internal affairs of his country. A spokesman for the president did confirm that the two men discussed, among other things, the upcoming talks on a mutual reduction of troops in Europe and the continuing negotiations on limiting strategic weapons. Tom Brokaw, NBC News at the White House.
In Britain, eight people were hurt today when a bomb exploded at the West London Air Terminal, a check-in point for passenger flights. That was the latest in a series of more than 50 explosions that police in London have blamed on the Irish Republican Army. Two offices of the International Telephone and Telegraph Corporation were bombed today. One was in Rome and the other in New York City. The explosion in Rome was a small one outside a building, and that only broke some windows. But the blast in New York was a big one. It was in a skyscraper in Midtown Manhattan in the ninth floor offices of ITT's Latin American division. It wrecked those offices. The bomb went off in the middle of the night, and no one was there, and no one was hurt. An anonymous telephone caller said the explosion was the work of the radical weatherman underground. There was speculation, but no evidence, that the bombing was a protest against the overthrow of Chile's late president Allende, an old enemy of ITT. In Chile, the military junta announced today the arrest of Luis Corvalan, head of the Chilean Communist Party. Corvalan was the junta's most wanted list of fugitives. He'd been in hiding since the overthrow of the Allende government.
This weekend, you can bend and lift, walk and stretch, and hate every minute of it. Or you can bend and lift, walk and stretch, and enjoy every minute bowling. Weekend bowling is not just going through the motions. You're out with friends, with a family. You're out for fun. You're out to win. This weekend, more lanes are available just when you are. So live it up. Go bowling. Exercise your right to happiness at your nearby bowling center.
The worst part about a cold is you miss so much.
It's not fair.
Take 12-hour contact. To get up to 12 hours continuous relief from just your sneezing, dripping, and congestion, you need 6 cold tablets.
2 every 4 hours.
Or 3 ounces of nighttime liquid.
1 every 4 hours.
Or 1 contact.
The tiny time pills do it.
You should know these contain an antipyretic, analgesic, and the liquid, an antitussive, and alcohol. Not found in contact. Give your cold to contact.
The government reported today that prices of raw farm products dropped sharply in September, 8%. The month before, they had gone up 20%. The drop in September farm prices was caused mostly by a fall in livestock prices, in soybeans, and in corn. But today's figures don't necessarily mean lower prices tomorrow for consumers. Irving R. Levine has that story.
At the Agriculture Department, officials caution that the big drop in the prices farmers are getting for their products will not mean a correspondingly big drop in the prices consumers pay for food.
I foresee reasonable stability in the index of retail food prices for the rest of the year. Some prices will go up and some will go down. The whole index might increase a bit, but nothing like the increases we've had. For 1974, I don't see any dramatic changes in the retail price of food. I don't see any sharp decreases.
Supermarkets did not mark up food prices as much as they could have last month when prices paid to farmers took a record jump upward. Now that farm prices are declining, supermarkets will try to make up some of the profit they lost.
So, for housewives, the lower prices received by farmers do not mean immediately lower prices for most foods. But at least food prices may not go up much more, which is a step in the right direction. Irving R. Levine, NBC News, Washington.
The Cost of Living Council told service station operators today that they can, at last, raise gasoline prices 1 to 2.5 cents a gallon beginning immediately. The council said also that heating oil prices could go up 1 to 2 cents a gallon at the same time. The varied increases will depend on local and regional conditions. The Civil Aeronautics Board today turned down for now requests by 9 airlines for fare increases. It was the second time in 2 weeks the board had rejected airline proposals for higher fares. The Senate today killed President Nixon's effort to delay pay raises for more than 3 million government workers, which means 2 million military personnel and more than 1 million civilian employees will get increases of nearly 5% starting next Monday. Mr. Nixon wanted to delay the raises until December 1st to combat inflation. The 2 Soviet cosmonauts who were launched yesterday got up at 7 o'clock this morning and began work 2 hours later. They maneuvered their spacecraft into a higher Earth orbit. The Russians released these pictures of the cosmonauts in their Soyuz capsule. The cosmonauts are testing an improved Soyuz. It's been changed since the last mission 27 months ago ended in disaster and death for 3 Soviet spacemen. As 2 Russians were orbiting the Earth last night, the 3 Skylab astronauts were arriving back home in Houston.
This was the end of a 2-month, 24-million-mile journey for the Skylab crew. As a gag, their wives put on old-fashioned costumes and rode out to greet the plane in a 1929 Model A Ford. The astronauts' legs were a bit wobbly as they stepped off the plane, but the men said they're rapidly getting used to the Earth's gravity once again.
During the Skylab mission, the crew had problems with maneuvering rockets. For a while, it looked as though the mission would be cut short and the men would have to be rescued. But the crew overcame their problems and, according to Alan Bean, accomplished the main goals of their mission.
We had three objectives when we went. One was to do the job right. And we trained 2.5 years to do that, and we think we did it right. The next was to do it safe. And we did that. We're all here in one piece, and we all feel pretty good. And the last was to have a good time, and we had a ball.
The astronauts went home with their wives, home for the first time since early July. Doctors will continue to observe the men to see how fast they readapt to gravity after 2 months in space. George Lewis, NBC News, at Ellington Air Force Base near Houston.
Many thousands of Romans today paid their last respects to Anna Magnani, the actress who typified Italian womanhood to many of them. Miss Magnani, who was 65, died of cancer Wednesday night in Rome. Her coffin was surrounded by her mourners as it was carried from the Roman church in which a funeral mass was celebrated. Few of the people who followed the procession actually knew Miss Magnani, but that made no difference. For them, her death meant a very personal loss. She was buried in the family plot of director Roberto Rossellini, who made her famous in the motion picture Open City. A Texas International Airlines propeller plane with 11 people aboard is missing. The plane disappeared last night on a 75-mile flight from El Dorado, Arkansas to Texarkana, Texas. And today, three men searching for the plane were killed when their helicopter crashed. Tony Boyle, former head of the United Mine Workers Union, was taken off the critical list today at a hospital in Washington. His doctor said he was alert and talking. Boyle took an overdose of drugs in a suicide attempt on Monday night. Today, the government went to court to have him placed in protective custody. The Justice Department says it wants to prevent another suicide attempt. The department also says Boyle has received threatening phone calls.
Not long ago, a king, a court jester, a damsel in distress, a knight in shining armor, and a dragon took their teacher, Miss Connolly, to dinner. Her Big Mac, fries, and strawberry shake cost each of the kingdom's subjects about 16 cents, a mere pittance.
You deserve a break today at McDonald's.
The following scenes are reenacted.
We're going up and right on time. We're going up to our secret mine. Got a secret mine up in them hills, and all it holds is gold.
This is the 74 Ford pickup, the tough, rugged one that works like a truck, rides like a car.
Looky, they must be after our secret mine. They look bad, things ain't fine. Those men are after our secret mine, but our Ford will beat them to our secret mine. Our Ford will beat them to our mine.
Some of the reasons for Ford's great ride are twin I-beam front suspension and an extra roomy, comfortable cab with full foam seats.
We're out front. We're just fine. Our Ford got us up to our secret mine.
And front disc brakes are standard.
Hey! Let's take some of this gold. Then we'll try to find some wives for sale.
No, let's take all of this gold and let some wives find us.
See the 74 Ford pickup at your Ford dealers now. Works like a truck, rides like a car.
Because of a lawsuit brought by the Common Cause Organization, the Nixon re-election campaign was forced today to reveal the names of secret, although legal, contributors to the president's 1972 campaign. The list includes Howard Hughes, $50,000. Bob Hope, $50,000. Governor Rockefeller of New York and two of his brothers, $50,000 apiece. And Walter Annenberg, American ambassador to Britain, $250,000. The stock markets closed out the week today with a drop in prices and light trading. The Dow Jones Industrials were down more than 6 points. On the New York Exchange, the average price of a share went down 20 cents. On the American Exchange, the average price of a share lost 1 cent. The Dow closed at over 947, a gain of more than 19 points for the week. The stock markets have been showing those signs of life only for the last couple of weeks. For months before that, prices were falling. Not many people were buying or selling. Brokerage houses were shutting down, and brokers were getting fired right and left. Robert Hager has the story.
Arthur Almskog once made $40,000 a year as a stockbroker. Since May, he's been driving a taxi.
The only thing you have to get over, I think, basically, is the social stigma. What do you do for a living? I'm a cab driver. What do you do for a living? I'm a stockbroker. It's a big difference. But you have to get it straight in your head, and that's all.
Even if Almskog were offered a job back on Wall Street now, he isn't sure he'd take it.
I don't know. I'm not so sure that I'd like to continue to live from crisis to crisis. I think that we're not over the hill down there yet. I don't know if we ever will be. The whole system, I think, has to be reformed.
Some others who used to work on Wall Street have no job at all. Bob Milner lines up once a week to collect a $75 unemployment check. Until last June, he was making more than $20,000 a year as a securities analyst. Milner's old firm, H. Henson Company, is closed now, one of dozens absorbed by other firms or forced out of business altogether when the market went bad. There are no firm figures on exactly how many lost jobs on Wall Street, but guesses run well into the thousands. Bob Milner has a house in the suburbs and a mortgage to pay. He has a wife who's looking for work and five children.
What can somebody such as yourself do about trying to get reestablished?
Why, you read the paper every day, pulp, make contacts with people you knew. I bought a book here to help me how to do a better job of looking for a position. Well, my children, I don't think they realize. My wife realizes, and I think she's more worried than I am, because it's not at the moment. But looking back and what did happen, but I think looking forward to where can we go from here.
Bob Milner's future may still be on Wall Street. Lately, the stock market seems to be pulling out of its long slump. Volume and stock prices have been much better. Higher commission rates have gone into effect. Some firms will show a profit shortly for the first time this year. Even without a job, Bob Milner comes into the city a couple of times a week. Wall Street is in his blood. And if the current upturn in the market continues, it could mean he and others will have a chance to go back to work in a few months. Robert Hager, NBC News, New York.
And good night for NBC News.
It feels like all this acid is turning up inside me.
Oh, this pressure. It must be gas again.
My heartburn is back.
All these people are talking about gas-acid indigestion because at times when you get acid indigestion, it's often accompanied by gas, too. That's what we call gas-acid indigestion. Digel is made especially for gas-acid indigestion. It not only reduces your excess acid, but gets rid of trapped gas, too.
Digel made me and my stomach feel better.
Digel for gas-acid indigestion.
I'm not going to spy on anyone.
Wendy, for all that you owe me that you can never repay, look.